Meanwhile, JB was thinking the same thing. There hadn't been the rock falls to contend with in their channel, but the storm whipped up clouds of dust and dirt, blinding the man. He kept his speed up, but knew that the exit was narrow, much more so than the exit that Carell and the drivers on the other side of the outcrop would have to contend with. He squinted as he tried to see where the channel narrowed, and the exit gap occurred.
Dark night. I can think of better ways to start an assault.
If you get us through this in one piece, I wouldn't give a shit if you sat back and let the rest of us finish up, because you sure as hell would have done more than enough.
I might hold you to that, if I get us through.
JB swung the wheel as a looming dark shape came up suddenly out of the rain of dust. He stomped on the brake before he hit the wall of the channel. The vehicle skidded to the left, catching sight of the other wall and the slightly lighter gap. He had found the exit.
Gotcha, you bastard!
JB headed straight for the light and put his foot down, ignoring the dust that rattled against the windshield.
Sweet mother, you've done it!
The wag came out of the channel into the lighter desert air. It was suddenly easier to see, and JB was able to get his bearings. The armorer knew that there was little time to waste. The sound of wags roaring out of the enclosed channels at either end of the outcrop would be enough to make the two trade convoys aware of an attack. Every second lost would be a second that the two sets of Vilsec could prepare a defense. JB leaned heavily on the wheel and executed a torturous metal-bending turn. His wag complained heavily, the wheels seeming slow to respond to his efforts.
Turn us over now, and I'll never forgive you, John.
The wag tilted alarmingly, throwing them across the interior.
Trust me, Millie.
And the wag righted itself.
I always do, John.
It was now facing the right direction, heading straight back into the arena. Through the desert rain, the armorer could see that the wags in front of him were still facing the wrong way to meet an attack, and the Sekhmen were facing toward him, but frozen in surprise. Mildred checked her Czech-manufactured ZKR target pistol. A hand blaster wouldn't be useful in the first attack, as they'd be using the WAG's mounted machine blasters. But at some point, she knew, it may just descend to hand-to-hand combat, and she wanted to be ready.
Shit! Grab the girls and let's get under cover!
Baron Hutter jumped down from the WAG and ran toward the shackled girls.
Just hold your fat ass still right there! Unless you want to have it blown off.
Fuck you!
You heard me, motherfucker.
Unwilling as he was to appear to heed such terms in his position as Baron, Hutter's instinct for self-preservation made him pull up sharply. He looked up to see Baron Al Jurgensen standing at the door of his own wag, a Sharps rifle in his hands, raised and trained on Hutter.
Don't be a stoop, Jurgensen. Look at the storm. We need to get this done with as soon as possible.
Then tell your sick man to hurry up with the unloading.
Be reasonable.
Be reasonable, nothing. You fulfill your side of the bargain, and we'll fulfill ours, as soon as you've got everything unloaded.
But...
Hutter found himself staring down the Sharp's muzzle.
Don't argue, Tad. You're not in any position to start handing out orders, okay?
Okay, Al. You've got all the cards right now, but we'll see.
He turned slowly so that he faced his own men.
You heard the man, stop!
He was cut short in bemusement by the sight that met him. It would appear to him that his men had, in fact, given up the unloading altogether. They seemed to be facing completely in the opposite direction to the central exchange point. It was then that he became aware of a sound that had nothing to do with the rush of wind and debris. It was the sound of wag engines being pushed to the limit. As he looked past his immobile, stunned sec force, he could see three wags turning tightly and coming toward his men, headed directly for the entrance to the outcrop. Furious, he turned back to Jurgensen.
You bastard! You set us up!
But then he could see beyond Baron Al that a similar situation was occurring at the rear of the charity convoy. Jorgensen's eyes met Hutter's across the dust storm, each ready to accuse, but stopped dead by the bewilderment on the other's face.
You...
Ambush! Get back, for fuck's sake! Get into defensive positions!
Hutter turned and headed back to his lead wag. Jurgensen, too, decided to ignore his opposing Baron and concentrate on the menace that was now threatening. There would be time enough for Summerfield after this was sorted out. Jurgensen slipped back into his wag and picked up the handset.
Defensive now! Watch the rear! Turn the wags!
In the confusion, seed crops and supplies were left scattered across the arena as Sekhmen headed back to the safety of their wags and the machine blasters and mounted flamethrowers, which would now prove to be of use in a way that Hutter couldn't have predicted. The women were left behind, standing in the middle of the arena, with nothing to do and nowhere to go. Ayesha and Claudette both recognized the sound of the wags beneath the storm and knew who it was. Now that the only Sekhmen paying them any attention were those with empty blasters, it was time to act.
Okay, let's try and head back to the wag!
Good move. At least we can get a defensive position better there than out here in the open.
What about the Sekhmen? Won't they think it's suspicious if we go back to the wag?
Not if these stoops take us back.
You've got to be joking!
The driver threw his useless blaster down to the desert floor and turned to run.
Baron! Oh!
Claudette stared down her blaster's smoking muzzle and at the fallen Sekhmen.
Huh. Not bad.
You bitch! This is all you're doing! First my broken nose, now this! You need to die!
Ayesha stepped back, slipping off her shackles and bringing the knife so that it was blade upward in her palm. As he lunged, she stepped calmly to one side and slashed at him, catching him across the side of his face. As he stumbled and fell, his hand came up to his face, leaving his ribs open at the side. She slashed under the ribcage, the razor-honed blade cutting through his clothes and scoring through flesh, fat, and muscle.
You whore!
He doubled over on the ground, no longer an immediate threat.
Drop the shackles and run like hell!
Claudette hung back to marshal the women along to the wag, while Ayesha dealt with the remaining Sekhmen. When the girl joined her, Claudette looked around to see that Anita was the only woman who hadn't run directly to the wag. In the confusion, no shots had been fired on them, and it was unlikely that it had even been noticed that they were unshackled until Anita had chosen to draw attention to it. The blousy blonde was hammering on the window of Baronel's wag.
Baronel! Baronel! Please save me! Save me! I'll do anything!
Who the hell? Oh, it's you, my fertile sow.
Yes, yes, it's me. You've got to save me, your daughter.
A daughter? You've got to be fucking...
Yes, yes, she's...
Bitch, I've been wanting to do that for hours.
Upon hearing gunshots, Baron Al had ducked back into his wag before he could see who fired the shot. Anita lay in a bloody heap at the vehicle's large tires.
All right, let's get out of here, Ayesha.
Gotcha.
Claudette and Ayesha made their way hurriedly back to the wag. They bounded in and slammed the doors.
I hope you can drive one of these things, girl, because I sure as shit can't.
Man the guns! We got them chilled and buried! They can't get out!
Woo-hoo!
Carell brought the wag out of its dangerous skid turn, and the two airborne wheels hit the desert floor with a bone-jarring thud. He slammed the wagon to the highest gear and ground his foot into the metal floor, hunching over the wheel as much as the metal box on his lap would allow him. Ryan, Christie, and the other hellbenders slid from their seats, balance still a little uncertain, and positioned themselves behind the machine blasters, with the barrels protruding through engineered holes in the sides. The blasters had cameras and infrared mounts on that relayed a view of the outside world and the target area to whoever was seated at the end of the mount. Ryan settled his good eye against the sight, adjusting to the image on the small screen. The equipment's age was starting to tell, and the image that settled on his retina was slightly flat and two-dimensional, with a faded quality that wouldn't help to differentiate between wags and clouds of dust in the chaos outside. The broken digital image pixelated the outside world into a series of shadows. Those shadows were enough.
We're closing! Get ready to blast the bastards!
Ryan shifted forward in his seat. His eye jammed up against the sight, the stock of the blaster hard against his shoulder. The charity convoy's rear wag came into view, and he was aware of moving shadows along the roof.
Ha! You think your raid rods can stop the tides of fate?
Charity's Sekhmen's blasters began to hit the armored wag and ricochet off. Before Ryan had the chance to squeeze the trigger and pick off some of the shadows, Carell had piloted the wag past at speed, and they were headed for the lead wag. It was obvious that Carell wanted Baron Al Jorgensen, the man he had referred to as the son of a gaudy whore. Behind them, he heard the roar of a machine blaster from the next hellbender wag as it attempted to take out the wag that had fired on them. Beside Ryan, Christie squeezed off a few shots to test her machine blaster, aiming at shadows that moved across the top of a wag they passed. The heavy caliber slugs tore into the shadows, leaving red tracers in their wake. Some of the shadows disappearing into the sandstorm around as the red lines ripped through them, throwing them off the wag.
Lead wag coming up!